In this episode, I talk about energy, and not the kind that has to do with bigger gates or stronger aids, but the kind that affects how we're doing what we're doing. So here we go, episode 239, Me and My Energy. Hi, I'm Karen Rolfe, and welcome to Horse Training in Harmony. This podcast is about you making progress with your horse in a way that you both can love. It's about learning how to move and be in harmony. Because yes, you really can develop a horse to be both athletic and happy. When we show up as our best selves for our horses will show up for us. So, let's get started. Hey everyone. It is a Saturday evening, and I am back in my office to record a podcast, obviously. My husband's room is just across the hall here. This is his guitar, his man room, where he keeps his guitars. And he's currently right now playing the guitar. And usually I'll just say, hey, I'm going to record a podcast, and you know, he turns it down. But I'm kind of enjoying it, and it's not too loud. And maybe it'll be just some like cool grooving background music. So unless things get really weird and he starts going into some like ripping, face melting guitar solos that make it hard for me to concentrate, I think I'll just leave it going. So I hope that's not a mistake. We'll see. Oh man, I just said that and now he stopped playing. Oh well, we got to enjoy it for a little while. All right. Let's get going. I wanted to start by telling a story about a mountain bike trip that I took. It was years ago, and it was a week-long intermediate-level mountain bike trip into one of the most remote sections of Canyonlands National Park in Utah. And it was pretty intense. Now, I lived on Long Island at the time, so didn't have much experience with like actual rocky mountain type things. And so it was definitely a stretch. It was definitely slightly above my skill level, but spending a week doing it definitely upped my skills. But lots of really crazy, steep, rocky downhills where strangely, the faster you went, the smoother it got. And just some crazy stuff, uphills, downhills, technical stuff. And but it had gone well. And this was towards the end of the trip, and we were coming out of the Canyonlands, and we were on this now wide gravel road. And it was just this long, long road down out of Canyonlands, and we ended up in Lake Powell area. And so the group, which normally we stuck pretty close together on the technical stuff, since this was just kind of a wide open thing, there were some people who were super comfortable and would just get going really fast, and then others would hang back, and I was somewhere in the middle. And there were two guides, and they kind of split up. One kind of stayed near the back, one kind of near the front. But at one point we got pretty stretched out because the speed started really picking up. And I ended up kind of by myself, in the middle of the pack, but by myself. And gradually I started letting myself pick up more and more speed. It was just constantly downhill for miles and miles and miles. And again, gravelly dirt road. And so at one point I was like, my confidence was high. I was starting to really fly. And then, so at this point now, I was really getting down over my bike and kind of getting more aerodynamic. And I was starting to really settle in and relax and get comfortable going that fast on that kind of terrain. And it got pretty windy at times. And there were times where there was a little bit of washouts where the road would, you know, there'd be these little ruts in the road and you had to kind of pay attention because, you know, there would be, you know, suddenly a big rock in the road or these washouts. And you say, it wasn't like a nice paved road. So at one point I'm, you know, again, just getting really confident. I am full, what I feel like is flying, full on out, wide open, crouched down over the handlebars. And I'm turning this corner and I come around the corner and there is a big washout, like wider than the diameter of a bicycle tire. I mean, and it comes up fast. So I turn the corner, I see this thing, and it's one of those moments where time, it's like it's over in an instant, but time slows down. And so there's just this weird moment where part of me, I guess, is doing this calculation and figures out that I can't stop, that hitting the brakes, I would still end up in the ditch. Like that was clear. And so there was, I was going to be hitting this thing. And something, and you know, I don't have experience like doing jumps on mountain bikes. Like that's not in my skill set. So I turn the corner, I see this, time freezes, somebody in my brain is doing a calculation, and then I just go. And I approach it, and I'm not really sure what happened, but I remember just pushing my bike out in front of me. I remember closing my eyes, having my butt hang off the back of the tire, and that's just the position I went in. I just remember sending my arms out forward, and I remember crouching down and putting my butt down as low over the back as possible. And I remember just bouncing and hitting I don't know where I was, my eyes were closed, but I remember hitting the ground, bouncing a few times. And then I opened my eyes and I'm on the other side of this thing and I'm upright and I'm still moving. And I just kept pedaling. I broke a lot of momentum, so I'm barely moving now. I'm just sort of, but I'm rolling. And so I kind of, my one foot had come unclipped. The other one was still clipped in. And so I'm up on the seat and I kind of just let it roll along and get my other foot clipped back in. And I take some breaths and I go, okay, kind of do a quick inventory. My wheels are still on. I don't have a flat tire. My helmet had kind of pushed down over my eyes, so I like popped my helmet up. And I just slowly started pedaling a little bit more and a little bit more. And then, you know, I was like, okay, I'm good. And I just started pedaling. And then I'm thinking, I'm a little disoriented. So I'm thinking, I got to catch up. I mean, I wasn't in the end of the pack. There were still people behind me. And so I'm just kind of cruising along at a much more reasonable speed now, not going for broke. I'm breaking down hills. I'm hitting the brakes a little bit. And then I hear another bike coming up behind me. And he's like really coming fast. So I pull over a little bit to let whoever's coming behind me pass. And it's the guide and he pulls up next to me and he motions for me to stop. And so we stop and I just look at him and he's looking at me and he's pale. And he's like, are you all right? And I said, yeah, I'm fine. He said, was there anybody else with you? And I was like, no, it was just me. And he said he saw my tire tracks and he said I could see the tracks going into this thing. And he said, but I couldn't see anything coming out the other side. And he said, I pulled over. He said he pulled over and was looking in the ditches on either side of this thing because he said he doesn't understand how anybody could have made it out of there and made it over that. So he thought for sure I had crashed and was, you know, had a concussion and was like in shock and had wandered off into the bushes and laid down somewhere. So we sat there. He just kind of stared at me for a bit and, you know, he's like, well, you know, what did you do? And I told him, I said, I don't know what I did. I just remember throwing the bike out in front of me, getting my butt low, closing my eyes and bouncing around a bit, but landed upright. And he just shook his head. And he rode with me for a while to make sure I was okay. And then he said he was going to hang back and get back with the other people that were going much slower. And so why am I telling you this story? So I'm telling you the story because it's an example of a moment where I sent my energy out ahead of me over that ditch. Now, this could have been just really dumb luck. I'm sure there was part of that because it wasn't any conscious decision making and it wasn't any skill on my part. But in that moment, something became present where I didn't panic or freeze up. I came into presence. Emergencies often will do that. And for some reason, my response was, I need to be on the other side of that. And I energetically threw myself over there. And luckily, my body caught up. And so you can use energy to carry you past something. And we use this with horses. I mean, probably everybody who's taken riding lessons or learned to train horses has been told something like this, right? If you're coming up to a jump and you feel the horse being a little unsure, you put your focus over that jump, right? You pick a focal point in the distance. You don't stare at the bottom of the jump, right? You look past the jump. You know, even horses who are like a little squirrely going around the arena or they want to balk at the gate, you don't stare at the gate. You put your energy beyond, right? You pick a long focal point. And by picking a long focal point, that puts your attention there, that puts your energy there. And then the idea is you put your energy there and then it's like a rubber band. It will pull you forward. It will pull you to the other side. So that works. That works. And just like in my mountain bike story, it can be very helpful. It can be very helpful. But then I want to tell you a story about a time when I was driving somewhere and I was running late. So I was trying to arrive to a house in time to say goodbye to a special friend who had been visiting for a while from overseas and they were going to be departing soon. And I was with some friends. I had a friend in the passenger side and I had two friends in the back seat. And I remember I was definitely throwing my energy out ahead of me, right? I think we've all been there. We're like, we got to get there. And, you know, you're like, eye on the prize, long focus, I'm going to get there. And I remember watching, you know, you put in the GPS and you have the estimated arrival time, right? And so I knew the arrival time it was estimating. I knew what time my friend had to leave the house. And it was like, we were kind of late. So I was trying to shave minutes off of that arrival time. And, you know, so you put your energy into it, right? You're like locked in. I'm throwing my energy forward and I'm going to be all hands on deck and I'm going to go for it. And I could feel the energy of the friend in the passenger side, right? She was doing the same. She was like, we're doing this. And I could feel her energy not only being throwing ahead, but her energy was pushing me, right? So we're going to make this happen. And she was often like pointing out shortcuts, you know, and making suggestions like, oh, pass that guy over there. Or you're like, you're clear over here. You can go. But that was just making me more tense. And I remember like, I'm leaning forward, right? I'm leaning forward in the seat. And I don't know why we do this. Like, why do we lean forward those 6 inches? Like, that's going to get us there any faster. But somehow your body wants to do that, right? And it's just a sign that like my energy's way out ahead. So I got to like lean forward physically, but you know, I have a seatbelt and a steering wheel and a windshield. So 6 inches. Right? And I'm going to just try to drive in a way that gets me the rest of the way. And I can remember at one point, one of my friends in the back seat who were kind of talking to each other more than us, but at one point they leaned forward and they were like asking me a question. And I remember just kind of like brushing them off going, no, not now. I have to concentrate. Like I couldn't even answer the question because I was like 100% eye on the prize focused. But then at one point, my friend in the passenger seat got a phone call from someone and she became very focused, engaged on the phone call. And she ended up kind of sitting back in her seat and just engaging with the phone call she was getting and sort of relaxing into that. And I noticed that I'm like, the car didn't slow down when that happened, right? So she took her energy away from this, like, we're going to get there early endeavor that we were on. And so she disengaged from that and the car didn't slow down. Like the ETA was the same. And then I noticed like my back started hurting. My arms were getting sore because I really, you know, I'd been leaning forward and straining and like gripping the wheel. So I kind of like shook out my arms a little bit and sat back and got a little more comfortable. And strangely, the car did not slow down and the ETA stayed the same. Noticing this, I was like, okay, this is more comfortable. Let me take some more deep breaths and just kind of relax and settle in a little bit. Get my hands a little more comfortable on the wheel, maybe not grip it so much. And strangely, the car did not slow down. The ETA remained the same. And I realized I was starting to drive a little better. I was driving more smoothly. I was aware that I was able to respond instead of react. I was seeing not just the tunnel of my lane and where I was, but I was sort of now seeing more of the peripheral. So I was actually able to make changes and move better. I was being a better driver. And as I did this, then at one point I thought about the question that the person in the back seat had asked me. And I said, hey, you know, what was that you were asking earlier? And they asked me, and now we are actually able to chat about it. And so we chatted about that for a while as I drove. And strangely, the car did not slow down and the ETA stayed the same. And so now the tension of the entire car changed and we were soon laughing and then pretty soon the friend that we were going to meet called and said her flight had been canceled and she could stay another night. And amazingly, now I looked at the ETA on the GPS and now it had us arriving a couple minutes earlier than it had originally said, now that we were like relaxing and, you know, and I was driving better. So I rolled my shoulders, I sat back, I took some more deep breaths, and I remember vowing to remember that sometimes sending all that energy is actually totally useless and it makes things worse, not better. So those are two different stories about sending energy out in front of me. One that I am positive saved my life. Absolutely saved my life. It was the only thing to do in that moment. And it wasn't a decision, but I'm sure glad I did it. And the other is an example of a completely useless and more than useless, you know, it made things worse version of sending energy out in front. So what can we learn from this? So I think that sending your energy forward like that, because you're really disconnecting. And I'm not very sophisticated about talking about energy. There's lots of people in this world who can really have nuanced, refined terminology for these different energy systems. Probably many of you will be like, hey, there's a term for stuff like this. But so I'm going to talk a little like a caveman about this probably, but my feeling is there's me in my center and then there's my energetic center and I like to keep them aligned. But sometimes, like I said, one can go out ahead and then like a rubber band, it can reconnect. Hopefully it reconnects. We don't want to stay disconnected. But we can use that as a tool to send that energy ahead, be like, you go first and let's bring my body forward somehow. let's bring the physical body with me somehow. But I don't think it's meant to be a sustained state. It's not at all a normal way of being, because by definition, it takes you out of the present moment and it completely disconnects yourself from yourself. That's my sensation of it. You don't want to stay there. It's for moments. It's for going over that jump. It's for those emergency moments where you have to be ready. It has to be dramatic enough moment that you really do want to time travel and you really do want to teleport yourself to a different place because you're going to break some rules of time and space. And so I think we can do versions of that when we're approaching a jump with a horse or getting past something with a horse or, you know, but if you start living there, you're just living disconnected. If that makes sense. So if we can do it in a way that creates a disconnect, that creates a tension, that creates a reconnection quickly, that seems to be helpful. But it has to be immediate and you've got to really go for it. And that's when it works with horses. When horses feel that, we're going there. when I ride with my friend Luca Monetta, the jumper rider in Italy, whenever I'm not a confident horse jumper, I'll stay on. So if the horse goes, I will stay on, but I'm not one to give the horse confidence at all. But he only had ever one set of instructions for me. He goes, just go there. And he would always point to the other side of the fence. He goes, just go there. And it was the horse's job to jump. And it's amazing advice. You just go there. And I was always just scared enough that I could do that. Every jump, I'd like disconnect my energy and then reconnect it on the other side. Anyway. So don't do this all the time. I think to notice if you start doing that. And here's a moment where I see people disconnecting on a regular basis. And that's when you're riding a horse that you're scared of. And so if you're riding a horse that you're scared of, there's often a lot of buildup. There's a lot of some stuff you have to tell yourself to do it. And the thing that often gets you doing it is you're so far ahead that you're like, you're already thinking of when the ride is done. And you're kind of going, we're just going to keep going and we're going to get through this and we're going to, okay, good, phew, we're done. And, you know, whoo, made it. And I feel like because often if you're scared, if you're really fully present, often you'll be too scared to do anything. And so you keep just kind of disconnecting enough that you're not really there and you get through it and usually get through it and it feels a little bit like, whew, I made it. But you weren't really, really present. So if you do that every single time with your horse, you might keep surviving, but you might not be getting better. The only way to really solve things with fear is to come back, be 100% where you are in that fear and start to solve the things that are scaring you. Exactly what is it that the horse is doing? Exactly what situation? You go all the way back to meet your fear and solve it in the littlest, tiniest threshold steps there. I mean, it's the same thing we do with horses. If there's fear, you can go past that fear once. You can get through that moment once. And if that's enough, you're like, oh, I was just scared to do that. Now I did it. And now I'm not scared. Like that can work. Sometimes you need to wisely send yourself through something, but it should be a brief moment. So be careful if you're constantly using this tactic of sending your energy ahead and every ride feels like that description of that drive that I made where I'm like, we're just going to get there. We're not going to really pay attention to where we are, but we're just going to think about getting there. Whew, I made it. So, and I know what this feels like too. So to just notice that, don't spend your time disconnecting yourself for very long. Get through a moment if you need to, and then come back and reconnect. The other place that this can happen a lot is with training and with trainers in the energy that they have with their horse in training. Sometimes, you know, the trainer has such a picture of where that horse can go and what they can do and what their potential is. And having that picture of the future self of that horse creates that little bit of disconnect, and then the bodies come forward and rise to that potential. I mean, that's part of training, is having a little feeling of like, here's where we're going and it's hard and now we can do it. And here's where we're going and it's a little bit of the stretch and now we catch up with the stretch. So that can work. But again, if it's those little stretches and reconnect should be short moments that reconnect quickly. Otherwise, there's this disconnect of the horse always feeling unsuccessful. I'm not there yet. It's not right yet. Or the student, if you're taking lessons with a type of instructor that's like this, it's not good enough yet. It's not good enough yet. It's not good enough. They constantly make you feel the stretch of the idea of where you're trying to be. And you feel the disconnect between that and where you are. And again, sometimes that can be motivating and it's like the stretch and grow. But, you know, again, like that rubber band, you got to stretch it, but then you got to let it snap back together somehow. And so just to be aware of if you're constantly stretching it and constantly disconnecting your energies, it's going to just start to feel like tension. It's just going to feel like disconnect. And that can create mental, emotional, and physical stress. But so here's something that I think is kind of interesting. I'm at a place now in my relationship with my horses and in my career as an instructor and a trainer where I'm really taking pressure off. I'm playing with my expectations for myself and my horses in really different ways. And it's super interesting because for the most part, strangely, as I take the pressure off and as I kind of let go of some of the expectations, it doesn't seem to be affecting my ETA. I'm not getting less results and things are not taking longer. Training is not slowing down. I'm just more relaxed and I'm laughing a lot more. And I think my horses are enjoying it a lot more. And that's been really fun to experience and to explore. So I've been thinking more and more about energy and where it's going and how I'm using it and what it feels like. And I mean, I've talked about energy for a long time. I've talked about inviting energy and sending energy and invisible energy. So, I mean, it's nothing new for me to be thinking about energy and talking about energy. It's all throughout my work from the beginning. But often I've talked about it as part of a training technique, as it's part of the how you do things. But I think there's like a zooming out. There's an even bigger picture of how energy is being used kind of in the sort of general context. And at the risk of sounding like an old hippie, it's like the vibe, the general vibe. And I'm actually not an old hippie. I'm a very new hippie. I just happen to be older. Anyway, again, I feel very unsophisticated when I talk about energy. But it's interesting because sometimes when I listen to people who can talk really deeply about energy, it gets me all up in my head and then I get confused and then I feel like it makes it harder. So I like to experience it and then try to explain it really simply and keep it very practical. And for this podcast, I'll try to keep it horse related. So, here's in my kind of caveman way. Here's some basic things that I've learned and want to add to when I talk about energy. Hey, I've got some great news for you. Registration for the Finding the Sweet Spot of Healthy Biomechanics program is now open at a special discounted price. We only open it twice a year, so if you don't do it now, you're going to have to wait 6 months. That's half a year. Now, this is our most transformative and most highly supported program. It will forever change the way you think about how your horse moves and how you confidently improve it. You get 6 months of live weekly Q&A calls with my coaches and private coaching included. And that's along with lifetime access to all the training materials. Now, the vast majority of students surveyed rated this program a 5 out of 5, and they said that they would confidently and enthusiastically recommend it to their friends. And because of the unique exercises and concepts taught inside the program, it's appropriate for riders of all disciplines wanting to improve how their horse moves, even with no prior dressage experience. And it's also appropriate for even seasoned dressage riders looking for a more harmonious way to ride and train. You can find out all the information at dressagenaturally.net/sweetspot. And check it out now, because registration closes for the semester on October 6th. It's dressagenaturally.net/sweetspot, SWEETSPOT. All right, now back to the pod. One of the things I've learned is it's good to keep myself centered and connected in my energy. All right, so this is what I've talked about on this episode, like to not throw my energy too far out ahead of me unless I'm really am planning on teleporting myself to catch up with it immediately. So use that skill, but do it sparingly. And if I don't do that, if I'm always disconnecting and throwing my energy out ahead of myself, I'm only disconnecting myself and from the present moment. And our horses are here in the present moment. Here's a little tip. Everything's in the present moment. So if I'm not in the present moment, I'm going to be noticing everything too late. And then my reactions will be reactions instead of responses. And everything is just jerkier. All right. The second thing I wanted to say that I've learned is the only place to be is where I am. Eckhart Tolle has a really good quote that's similar to that. He says, the only thing to do is what you're doing. And those are very connected, right? So this idea of just relaxing deeper into everything that I'm doing and do things from there. And again, in riding, we're taught a lot that long focus. And so again, like it works, but I think it's really interesting to play with the long focus. And can you have a long focus but still be 100% where you are and there? Can you put a long focus without disconnecting yourself from yourself? So an example with horses is my first rule with horses that feel like you need to push them is to stop pushing them. And it's one of the hardest things to do in riding, but it's the only thing ultimately that's going to work, right? That passenger in the car pushing me only made me more tense and it didn't help me go any faster. So the only place to be is where you are. So if you feel like you're having to push something along and energetically you're having to push things away, the best thing you can do is to be where you are and relax into it completely. And then from there, you can make some decisions, but be really careful and aware of when you start disconnecting yourself from yourself for long periods of time. And a third thing about energy that I wanted to mention here is something about stillness without being dead. Right? It's kind of a unrefined way of talking about that. But there are subtleties to not doing anything. So there's different ways to be here and present. You can be here and present in this moment with an enlivened energy that's sort of floating like a balloon in one place, just waiting for a breeze to come and take it along. Or it can be here like a rock or like an anchor, like dug into the dirt, immovable, or like a dead weight. And none of these are right or wrong, right? So it's just to notice what kind of energy right here, right now do you have? Because there's some options. And to put it in practical horsey terms, like there's often students, when I, you know, say like, don't push your horse, you know, just relax, 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 don't push, they might not notice that their energy went from pushing to dead weight. It went from pushing to like anchored in the ground or just a rock. And it has an energy of no one's going anywhere. Compared to an energy of, okay, I'm not pushing, but I'm more like a balloon that's, you know, filled with air and ready to go if a breeze comes along. Right. And so there's different ways to be right here doing, quote unquote, nothing. And that's, I think, a really interesting space to explore of what kind of energy do you have when you're not, quote unquote, doing anything. Or even when you're here, there's like grounded right here. And then there's like locked in or dead weight or, you know, again, all these things that I'm trying to say that somebody else would be like, oh, you mean blah, blah, blah. And there's like a term for this. There's this thing that happens around here. We're in a flight path of the sandhill crane. And so often right over my property during the sandhill migration, they'll fly over. And so often you'll see like the V's of sandhill cranes going. But what's really cool is sometimes they'll gather and you'll see a bunch of sandhill cranes, and they'll fly in and they'll start going in a big circle. And then another flock of sandhill cranes will come in and they'll join this big circle. And then another group will come in and they'll join this big circle. So at some point there's all these sandhills and they're not going anywhere. Right? They're staying right here, right now. But they have an enlivened energy, even if they're not going anywhere. And it's clear that they're on the circle track. Everybody knows it. The other ones come in. They just join that big circle. Until at some point, seemingly seamlessly, they just go. And somebody takes the lead and then they all follow. So, but I think about, you know, that kind of energy of like, we're not going anywhere, we're not pushing, nobody's leading, nobody, you know, who's leading, who's following, I don't know. But there's this feeling of there's an enlivened energy, and at some point, we go. But they don't gather on my property and all sit on the ground going, when are we going to go? I don't know. You go. Nah, I'm waiting for you. Oh, I thought I was waiting for you. You know, sitting around looking at each other. I thought you wanted to go. No, I was waiting for you. Anyway, that's that feeling of the enlivened energy that hasn't gone anywhere yet. It's very content and peaceful and ready. So often I think about that when I want to have that kind of present energy, but I make sure, like, if I'm wondering if my energy is a little too dead, that's when I'll picture those sandhill cranes and I'll just like, let's just make sure something's moving, like wiggle. You guys who've trained with me know how much I love to wiggle things, like move it here, move it there, just let's see if it moves a little bit, you know, just energetically wiggle yourself and make sure there's something that's ready to move or movable. Anyway, and And so those are three things I just wanted to add in this podcast today. And some of you might be like, huh, Karen, isn't there a really obvious way to use energy with horses that you haven't mentioned? You know, the part where we have an intention and then we send our energy and this energetic picture, and then the horse, you know, feels that, and then we help the horse understand that that was a meaningful communication so that they understand it. We might have to follow through, and this is how we make requests, right? We send energy and we expect a horse to do something, and then we follow them. And yeah, I didn't mention it because I mention that all the time. And it's sort of the simplest way to use energy. It's the most discussed version of using energy among horse techniques, including mine. But that's why I wanted to talk about the other stuff. The more I'm learning about powerful nuances of harmonizing the energy within myself, mentally, emotionally, physically, and the more I'm playing with not overusing it and playing with the power of dropping in and allowing and just having that enlivened energy ready to actually respond naturally to the moment is pretty freaking cool, right? So that art of being energetically enlivened, centered, allowing, relaxed, present, that makes everything else better, even as you use other energetic techniques, in my humble opinion. Anyway, I hope you found that interesting and helpful. If this episode resonates with you, make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. Training horses is a long game. The more you listen, the more pieces of the puzzle you'll have. To see all your learning resources, visit dressagenaturally.net. That's where you'll find free videos, online courses, my book. You can sign up for my Wednesday Wisdom email or even book a private consult. Most of all, remember, you got this. Never underestimate the possibility for things to improve in ways you cannot yet imagine. Till next time, love your horse, move in harmony, and enjoy the process.